This is President Sullivan, and I appreciate being a part of the Back Pocket Podcast.
The boys from the Back Pocket are back. Today is May 1st, and it is cold, rainy, and everything in between. We thought the sun was going to be out. Nope. It's still staying hidden.
Not a chance. Here we are saying the weather's going to be nice, the weather's going to be great, all sorts of positivity surrounding the atmosphere, and here we are with clouds, more clouds, and rain. And cold weather, mind you.
Yeah, I mean, you think when you hear the term April shower, spring May flowers, usually it's like that, you know, 60 degree rain, and it's kind of enjoyable because it's the first time that it's kind of warm out.
Yeah.
But it's bitter cold, and we got spring ball.
Yeah. And just to also add on, rent is due month of May. It's May 1st. Not only is rent due for most people who, you know, have houses here around campus and everything, but it's also due for just speaking the month of May. The May flowers need to be coming out now. I'm done with this. I'm sick of this rain in April, and it's just time to get going here. So let's transition and get this whole episode started here.
So we, you know, average podcasters got to surround themselves with not average people. So Deck and I, average, as we have told you throughout this whole podcast, we surround ourselves with two guys who are potentially going to be in the NFL in the near future. We got Alex Finsky, who's projected fifth round. I think he's 14th rated quarterback on Mayock's big board, which is pretty big time. Potentially the fifth round. And then we got Jordan Roberts, who has another year left of college, but is poised to have a breakout season and then be high on the Mayock's big board for the 2018 NFL draft.
Yes, that's a great point. Mayock absolutely loves St. Thomas. He's been coming here every year, scouting our boys. He's obviously missed two key elements in the St. Thomas regime and culture. That's obviously me and you. You and I are definitely two that Mayock should look at, maybe, just as podcasters, not as NFL players per se. I will say, though, Alex Finsky had an unbelievable year this year for St. Thomas. Mayock's got absolutely right. He's got the arm. He's got all the intangibles to become an NFL quarterback. Got that drive. Got that blue-collar spirit. I love what he's doing. And then when you're looking at Jordan Roberts, yes, like you said, has a whole nother year. He's just going to absolutely be unbelievable this year. He's poised for a great season. Not only does he have the Lord on his side, he's big-time seminarian here, but he's also just the greatest guy I think I've ever met. So if you guys like Danny Woodhead, you guys like Christian McCaffrey, you know, the white running backs in the NFL right now, Jordan Roberts is the next step up.
And you can also compare him to maybe like a Jordan Howard for the Bears. He loves to get upfield, always pushing for that extra yard. Another running back that you could compare him to would be maybe like a Mark Ingram. Just he's got that big shoulder set, you know, big biceps. And he's gonna be competing in the NFL. We guarantee that. It's just depending on what team can see the light in him.
My favorite player that I see Jordan replicating is Tiki Barber.
Well said.
And that's all I'll say about that. So moving on here, as most of you guys know, we have a tradition like none other. Backtrack here. We have a brand new segment. It's hitting the scene. It's coming in hot. It's called Tradition Never Graduates. And I bring this up, and it started and it sparked with Gamiel Hall's electric article that he had regarding the Tour de Francia, a tradition like none other here at St. Thomas. And it had to do with the neighbors around school getting mad, calling into the Dean of Students. And
what we mentioned a little bit briefly in the previous podcast.
Correct. We had alluded to this at the podcast in our last podcast last week, and just from the Dean of Students message, and now we're back at it again. Gamiel had the great coverage and a great article on this and was very, you know, unbiased about what he had to say, you know, what have you. However, it brought up the Dean of Students mentioned how she wants to hold on to these traditions at St. Thomas that we absolutely love, the Tour de Francia, and now coming at you hot this week, Derby Days, a tradition like none other. So we're going to get you guys as podcasters, as guys from the Back Pocket, we're going to give you guys the ability to make money this weekend.
By presenting our picks, which we think are electric and probably pretty spot on, we have some underdogs that We don't even know if he's going to be competing in the field, but if he is, he will be fast, and he will be accurate.
Oh, that's a great point, AI. So let's go ahead and backtrack once more here. So the Kentucky Derby doesn't officially pick their 15 or 20 racers. I don't know how many actually race around this track. I do know one thing, though, is that they pick all the racers, all the horses on May 3rd, which is a Wednesday. And basically, we at the back pocket, we do our research as always, and we've noticed we have about 8 to 9 horses here, all great names, all fast, all accurate, great horses. Let's take it away.
So our first pick, who is our favorite to win the Kentucky Derby, is Fast and Accurate. He's a fast horse that runs an accurate race. It's in his name. That's a given. Other than that, we just know he has been competing for X amount of years, and you know
he really hasn't because these horses are newbreds. They don't run
X amount of years, maybe 6 months. But you know,
he stays tight
to the rail, and he gets out early, so he allows himself to get ahead of the pack and avoid all of that compact conjunction, whatever you want to call it, right off in the early in the race. But when you watch the Kentucky Derby, you're going to realize that the horses that get out fast may not ever win. But you got to remember the back half of this horse's name, Accurate. He has the minute details to keep him in the race for the longest period of time. And I think he will push towards the end, and I'll give him the victory.
Yeah, I really do like what you're doing there, Andrew. I just pulled up a video here of his last race. So let's go ahead and watch that.
And they're off and racing. And a great line out. Wow. The favorite, Russian Revolution.
Holy
the
first cow.
Which one is he?
He's the one in front.
I like how he's... He's the one tied to the rail right here?
Yeah, he's tied to the rail. He goes close to the rail here. Oh, okay. I like that. So he goes close to the rail. That way he cuts off all the other horses.
Yep.
If you're going to put your money on... Yep. If you want to put your money on a horse... It's this one.
Rebel Danger, Tarquas, two lengths behind them last. It's Russia.
Wow.
Okay, so that's just a little brief preview of what Fast and Accurate brings to the table.
I mean, if you can hear something fast and accurate, it obviously runs fast and accurate, physically speaking. I'm very excited for what Fast and Accurate can do. Another horse that you guys might be wanting to get after, put your money down on, he's going to have great odds coming into the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. It's the Battle Midway. The horse's name is the Battle of Midway. Now, when I say the Battle of Midway, you historians, your ears perk up, I'm sure, because that's how we got Hawaii in World War II. It was a crucial battle in World War II. We were battling Japan out in the Pacific, and we beat them. And then that was our ability to push forward towards Japan and gain the Pacific Ocean and Hawaii with it. So I have no idea what Battle of Midway runs. I don't know what its 40 time is. I don't know anything about it. However, I'm really stoked for Battle of Midway.
Right on. I'm also thinking about Classic Empire. When I see that name, what sticks out to me is its relevance to the back pocket. We alluded to in our very first podcast how we are starting an empire by doing it, you know, as average as possible, just like how Mao Zedong, Jeremy Lin, Genghis Khan did. You know, it's a classic empire, and we are very similar to those attributes. So I'm going to put my money also on Classic Empire because of all of those things that it presents itself.
Yeah, so that's a good point. We're going to be putting our money on all these horses with you guys. We're going to obviously be putting most of our money on Fast and Accurate. However, Battle of Midway and Classic Empire along with that. I also just want to add, Classic Empire, best Star Wars movie allegedly is Empire Strikes Back. So that's one thing to note.
Great point.
On to the next point. On to the next horse, sorry. I have Gormley. Shout out Owen Brown.
Can you
Owen
spell Gormley. That for him?
Yeah, it's Gormley. So my friend's name is Owen Brown. His mom's name is Kathleen Gormley. Sweetheart of a woman. I absolutely love what she does for Owen. And I would just like to make that known, and I think that translates. The name translates throughout history, and it reoccurs, and it impacts people with that name as well. I love Gormley in the Kentucky Derby.
Another horse that we love a ton is Irish War Cry. Mm. And why do we love that? What do I think when I hear Irish War Cry? I think Mel Gibson in Braveheart. And Mel Gibson just came out with an Oscar nominee movie. What was that one called again? With the guy that wouldn't fight, but it was really gory.
Moonlight.
No. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, is that a talent show with the animals?
No, it was the war movie with the Dunkirk with Andrew Garfield. No, it's not. That's not out yet. With Andrew Garfield.
I don't know.
It was okay,
but it was a good movie. So
hold on. So
that's the point, though.
Yeah, Mel Gibson came out with a great movie just recently, and that's just bringing everything full circle. Irish War Cry. He's breaking out of the pack, and I'm betting my money on Irish War Cry.
Okay, so our last pick, this is the pick that you're going to make most likely when you're showing up late to the party. The Kentucky Derby starts in 5 minutes. You're scrambling in your back pocket to grab your money. You're probably inebriated at this point. You need to throw a pick. You need to throw someone money on some horse, some odds. Give me some odds.
Pull out of your back pocket.
You're going to throw down your $100 and you're going to throw it on McCracken. MC capital C. Racken.
Absolutely.
R-A-K-E-N. McCracken. Put it on that. We have no idea what the horse is, what he does, what he has to provide, but that's a pick you got to make.
So a good thing to be aware of with the Kentucky Derby is no one really knows who's going to win, but you really just look at your favorite name, and like McCracken, it's a guaranteed win because of that name.
Yeah, and you're right. The things to be aware of for the Kentucky Derby, more so things that you can absolutely count on, are the absolutely ridiculous outfits. So, Derby Days here at St. Thomas is a tradition like another, like we had said. People are dressed to the nines, but when I say to the nines, I mean they have absurdly large hats and everything in between, and it's just absurd. But I would want to point out that they are in what I would call posh outfits.
And by posh, what do you mean by that?
Posh. So, I learned this word on my month-long sabbatical. For all of you that don't know, I went on a J-term course, a month-long sabbatical.
I think they get learning. You've mentioned it a few times.
Yep. It was a theater class with, yep. And I was the only guy there, and I learned a lot about girls and stuff like that. And one of the terms that came up was the word posh, and it means very rich and high class. So I would say that's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, for sure. And another thing that's accurate, like what we are doing right now, when the Kentucky Derby comes around, people begin to act like they know horses. And they're just going to tell you their knowledge, like, this guy was bred with this type of owner, and he's got this jockey who raced with these horses in the past, and he's got this type of hoof, and their legs are this amount long, blah, blah, blah. They're going to give you a bunch of different facts. Really, no one knows anything about horses.
Yeah, honestly, like, it's such a crapshoot with horses. They could run out of those gates, and really, they just don't know what they're doing, and they get scared, and they can just be like, all right, we're done. But one thing that just always is funny to me is the horses get awkwardly treated like humans, and then the jockeys get treated kind of like robots. Like, the jockeys don't do anything. They just slap the horses' asses. They're going down the track the whole time. It's like, really? I think that's kind of hard to do.
And they're such awkward humans. I mean,
they're like, so tiny.
They're so tiny.
They are tiny little humans. They're tiny little robots.
So
it's absurd.
So one thing you got, all of our listeners should be aware of is our one of our longtime listeners, kind of a shy guy. He's not going to go out of his way to promote himself, but he's on his way to becoming a jockey, is Austin Lorch.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. So Lorch was asked this spring season for football to get up to 165 pounds. Maybe the coaches thought he'd be more effective at his position at 165 pounds. However, I will say Lorch totally ignored them and said, I want to be 155 pounds. And I'm looking here. Requirements to be a jockey is to be shy, do your job, less than 5'6", and the weight limit here is 155 pounds. So that's a great point, Andrew. I think
that's
Lorch might be becoming a
jockey and competing in the Kentucky Derby in the future. And, you know, also
breaking
news to keep your mind aware of Jack Doomer. He's a longtime listener, called in a few times. I think he's trying to cut some weight right now as well and trying to compete in the Kentucky Derby, I think, by 2020.
Yep. So we'll keep your eye out on that. Mainly Lorch. keep that Jack Doom in your back pocket, but mainly let's watch out for Lorch here. Lorch does wear a lot of bright clothing, which the jockeys also happen to be wearing bright clothing. So, one last thing to be noted that kind of refers back to my horses get awkwardly treated like humans is there are horse Twitter accounts, and they're everywhere. So you can go ahead and follow Fast and Accurate, the back pocket favorite. His Twitter handle is, or his or her, I don't really know what the gender of the horse is, but you can follow Fast and Accurate at Fast Accurate. Great follow. The horse has about 200 followers. It talks about eating grass, preparing for its races. It actually communicates.
Running in circles.
Yeah, it circles, left turns.
Left turns.
It's kind of funny because it tweets at all the other horses. So there's kind of, you know how there's like Black Twitter and, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff? Well, there's also horse Twitter, and I think that needs to be talked about a little more.
Mm.
So
very interesting. And also, when we revert back to the statement Deck made earlier about Posh, my personal opinion is, I've also talked about this on the podcast prior, you know, you're going to go to the Kentucky Derby, and you're going to have your line of ties laid out before you and go out to your whatever party you are going to partake in. And if you want to be successful, you're going to do what I do. You're going to look at all your options. You're going to weigh them. You're going to hold them up left and right. You're going to view the colors, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the day, no tie. Because you got to make the move. You got to be bold. And you go away from the narrative. Do not follow the narrative. Write your own story. No tie.
I love the call. You're looking at blue tie, white tie, gray tie, wearing a white shirt, black shirt, brown shirt, purple shirt. How many colors did I just name? Probably like 12. We're not numbers, guys. But isn't how much easier is it just to be stress-free and just match your jacket to your shirt? It's so much easier. It's so much nicer on your neck for all those guys doing trugs out there. It's so easy. And then for our girl listeners, do we have any advice for...
Advice for girls? You know, I'm not that great with advice, but maybe just big floppy hat.
Big floppy hat. Who wants to wear sunscreen on Derby days?
You don't, but you wear big sunglasses.
You wear huge sunglasses. You wear a hat, and then
sundress,
and then
sandals.
Sandals. Yeah. Get those Hercules sandals.
Yeah,
those Hercules sandals are dope.
Yeah, you're gonna get some nice tan lines up to the knees. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Oh, so let's interview big hat, sundress, Hercules sandals.
Perfect. Okay. Now we'll trap the puck on the Kentucky Derby, and we're going to transition to our interview. But before we do that, we're going to give you a little brief overview of who our interview is. So Joey Tats is who we're about to, or who the interview is. We interviewed him in Aruba on the beach, and so the audio quality is, it's not the best, but it's quite enjoyable because you can picture yourself.
You know what the audio quality is.
Average. Absolutely.
Continue.
So picture yourself sitting at like a little tiki hut bar underneath the little canopy, and you got some music playing in the background, and then the wind and the waves in the background, and it's just us two, Joey Tats. He brought a couple of people from his entourage.
So, well, actually, one thing to mention is Joey is from New York. He's a Long Islander.
He's not from New York City. He's from Long Island.
Long Island. See, if you don't call people from Long Island from New York because they're not the same. So that's also our New York accents. We like that a lot.
And then another thing, another great way to know who Joey Tats is Deck got a present from Joey Tats. You want to tell us?
Correct.
About that?
So we're in the interview, and you'll hear this, and he's wearing this shirt that is the, it says, Just Hit It on it, and there's a Nike swoosh on the top, and it's like all kinds of like weed and stuff on it. It's got like weed. It's got the alarm clock that says 420. It's got a bong on there, a bowl, like a joint, and it says Just Hit It in green letters. And I just go, hey man, that's a sick shirt. And literally right after I said that, he takes off his shirt and throws it at me and says, take it. That was the last thing that ever happened. I still have it in my room. It's hanging up.
it fits surprisingly well because Joey Tats is a little bit on the heavier side.
Well, let's not give that. He's kind of on the heavy side, but he does do CrossFit.
Yeah, because he had lost 70 pounds. He was heavier, and now he cut the weight.
Yeah.
So, great man.
But yeah, either way, I'm a little bigger than him, but, you know.
He's a great guy. We loved interviewing him. Let's take it to the interview.
So we got a unique interview here today. We brought in our guest, Joey Tats. We met him on Jolly Pirate the other day and immediately had a connection. We loved his story, and we just wanted to get our listeners to know more about Joey because we appreciated his stories and everything that he was about. Joey, if you mind giving our listeners a quick background about you, that would be great.
Well, as soon as I become famous, I don't want to be one of those guys that become like a Bruce Jenner with the Kardashians or whatever, but... I'm from New York, Long Island. Been a bartender and owner and whatever my entire life. Got tons of stories, you have no idea. When people say, you know, like, you can't make this shit up,
you can't.
Then I ain't lying. You can't make this shit. I don't even try. Yeah. I wouldn't even try to make up a bullshit story because it's impossible. Something I've seen and heard.
So awesome. You born and raised in Long Island or been there your whole life? Or?
Other than that, I did 6 years in the Marine Corps.
That's right. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Yep. That's awesome. Again. They keep telling me I'm too old to go back and kill people, but...
Too old, but will you?
Yeah, so bringing on to the round table, we got Sean here. Sean's a good friend of Joey. Joey gave him up for Lent. Sean decided to come on here, come on board still.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Didn't happen. No. Didn't make sense too much, but hey, we're here.
Live right now?
We're live. Well, we edit this out. We basically record now and then we put it online later.
Okay.
So it's not like a live.
Where is this going to go on the radio?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. iTunes.
Oh boy. Oh God.
Should we hit him with the first question?
You guys have to stop me over something. Man. I'll just roll with it.
That's the best part. What's your favorite story to tell? What's your bar story?
When we saw from last night, anyone? About 3 days ago when I met these guys, I gave up the Jolly Pirate at Moomba, and some schmuck's knocking on the door. I'm like ready to kick the door open and like knock the fuck out of somebody. And it's Sean.
Oh man.
First time. Like,
where's the package?
I had no idea he was coming here.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw him?
He dropped me off at the airport. He's picking me up. Apparently not. Fucking never get an Uber home.
You got on the same plane?
No.
No. Nope. I tell you, I was in the bathroom. I knocked on the fucking door. The guy comes out.
That's awesome.
He's my ride home. And now we're going home on the same flights. I don't know how we're doing this.
Really?
Oh. Uber.
Uber.
Why Aruba? You said you came to Aruba, 12 years ago?
I came to Aruba like... When I was like after high school or something like that, we did like the spring break thing and all that stuff. Yeah. And
I think we got a bucket coming.
Like 7-8 years ago, my parents had this thing for a free vacation at the Marriott.
Okay.
And they wanted us to buy a timeshare. And then there was this dreadlock guy, they used to have a water taxi that went back and forth. And the guy's like, oh, we'll take you down to the Divvy. And when we went down there, I loved it. I just bought a place, and that was it.
Nice. That was it, huh?
And every year, we just come here.
That's sick.
Sometimes twice a year, sometimes 3 times a year.
That's awesome. So we know you're a big, you're a big music junkie, punk rock guy.
Punk rock.
So give us a, because you mentioned a story last night about your first concert.
Oh,
and
Black
all that.
Sabbath.
Yeah. So give us a little insight on how did you get involved and how'd you get turned on to
my
punk
father.
Rock music and all that?
I was like 5 or 6 years old, and my father was like so-called babysitting me. You know, I don't know how you babysit your own kid, but whatever.
Sure.
Like, my mother...
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My mother was like at a pottery class or something.
So your dad was babysitting while your mom's out at a pottery club?
Yeah.
Love it.
So like, him and his friends had tickets to a concert. Yeah, so we went. I really didn't get it at the time. Like, a year later, they brought me to see Kiss. And I thought it was like, my guys are great. And me and my father argued about it for years. He was like, Kiss sucks. Musically, they do, but it's a good show.
Yeah.
When I got older and I realized how great Black Sabbath was, like, it changed my whole life. I think that's what got me into the whole punk and hardcore scene.
Right. That's awesome. So, yeah. What's your, like, in the 80s, who would you say is, like, one of your favorite punk rock bands? Because,
I guess it shapes so close.
In the 80s, I was a big Ramones fan.
Okay.
I like the Sex Pistols, like, Exploited.
You said Sex Pistols?
Yeah.
Those guys, aren't those the guys that
They're like one of the reasons the Berlin Wall went down, right?
Yeah, Johnny Rotten.
That's right.
But then I got more into the whole California thing.
Okay.
Like Hot Chili Peppers or?
Like, yeah, but that's, like we said, that's later. That's more like funk.
Yeah.
But like I got into like the whole, like they call it like surf punk.
Okay.
Dead Kennedys, Descendants, The Vandals.
Hey. Because
they were just like, New York was like fast, angry, and aggressive.
Okay.
But California was just like, they could talk about your girlfriend cheated on you and you hate her, but it sounded fun. So like just it was so. Just...
It was complete polar opposite. That's kind of how I always understood it.
Yeah, completely different. And then, like, after years, like in the 90s, I played a couple times, played with a few different bands.
Okay.
And then, like, there was, like, this fusion. Like, all of a sudden, like, a band from California would come, like, to CBGB's or to Webster Hall and play with a New York band and just become friends.
That's awesome.
You know, like, now I've seen some of these bands forever. You know, Rancid, I've been seeing these guys for 30 years.
Yeah, they're just old-time bands now.
And yeah, people don't even realize, like, Tim Armstrong has, like, 5 different bands. And he's actually on the Garnier Fructus commercial. You guys don't even realize that that's a punk rock song in the background.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Woohoo! Like, that whole thing?
Yeah, punk rock. Oh, with Blur? What is it? Song 2, Blur?
Really?
No, with that, it was,
That's crazy. It's
sold
out.
The Transplants.
Transplants, there you go.
Because it was guys from 4 different bands.
Uh-huh.
One of the greatest bands you guys should definitely check out. It's called Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Okay.
They do nothing but covers. That's all they do. They're from the 6 guys from 5 different bands, and they do nothing but covers of, like, every song you can imagine.
This is crazy stuff. I love it. But, for like the 90s, you did you get into the grunge scene at all?
I did.
Okay.
I tell you, I just seen Temple of the Dog.
Temple of the Dog, yeah.
A few months ago for my birthday.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Margo, even though I paid for the tickets. But, no, I'm kidding. No, I did pay, whatever. Edit that one out.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, Temple of the Dog, they made one album in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then, like, they never toured, ever.
Yeah, and then it's that I would compare Temple Dog more like Jay-Z and Kanye came together, did an album together, and it was sweet. Temple the Dog, it was like 3 or 4 bands, like, what was it, Soundgarden,
Pearl Jam, Mother Love Bone.
Yep, Pearl Jam, Mother Love Bone, all
and,
those guys came
Alice
together.
And Chains.
Alice in Chains, because was Lane Staley on it, too?
No,
it was
But the
guitarist from Alice in Chains, but I can't remember his name, but all 4 of those guys came together and made just an unbelievable album. Just one album, that was it. And then I don't even they don't really play too much.
They never toured until last year in November. They played and they only played 5 shows. I think New York, obviously.
Yeah, New York.
I think they did Chicago, California, and then I think Texas or something. I got the T-shirt somewhere.
Yeah. So what would you say, like living now? In present day versus living back in like the 80s and 90s, just because I was born in 96 to date you. I was born in 96 and AI was born in 96.
I got out of the Marine Corps in 96.
Really? You're in the Marine. So then you got out in what, 2000?
No, I got out.
Oh, you got out in 96. Okay. So what was like the culture back then? What was the most, like, is there some sort of story where you can be like, that was the 90s or that was the 80s?
Well, we didn't have this stuff.
Yeah, sure. We didn't have a podcast, that's for sure.
Telephones were still, like, connected to the wall. Like, if you went to privacy, you just turn around, like, in the corner. You know?
Yeah.
Family still had, like, dinner together. You know, like, you had to be home. Like, you know, it got dark out, now it's time to be home.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you could tell just, well, it's a New York thing. You could just tell by the whistle.
Thank you.
Whose father was calling you.
We were talking about that with our buddy's family. We're out here with them, and they had, like, a distinctive, like, family whistle.
Yeah, like
when they heard it, they would run.
Like, I lived, like, a block away from the schoolyard when kids still played in the schoolyard. You know, we'd be out there playing hockey or stickball or whatever, and there'd be a whistle. I'm like, yo, Robbie, you got to go home. Well, you know, Joey, you got to go home. Like, we just knew by the whistle, like, what was going on.
Right. That's awesome.
I got in trouble one time. You know, like I said, there was no cell phones. Like, you couldn't, like, you didn't get called to be home, this and that. So I came home one time, the first time ever, I got punished. I was like, Dad, I'm 5 minutes late. He goes, 5 minutes, 5 hours. What's the difference?
Absolutely. There you go, dude. I love it.
So Sean was over here. How'd you guys meet? How'd you and Sean meet?
Bars.
Bars. In New York? Long Island?
Yeah.
See, a Long Island guy, too?
Ride motorcycles.
Well, okay.
But he has to have me in Sean, man. Stop interrupting. You know what the fuck's going on.
Sorry.
This is Sarah, by the way.
Yeah, hey. Sarah. Another friend of Joey Tats, a disciple.
Maybe not for too long. You keep interrupting me.
Oh.
Cold.
Ethan, I'm staying in your room. Can you remember that?
Are you? Okay.
Oh, another good one. Your girlfriend, right? I'm assuming Margo.
Oh, yeah, my organizer?
Your organizer?
Yeah. Okay.
He's not kidding.
It's true. She's not here right now, but...
Telephone, telegraph, telewoman?
Yeah.
That was Declan's, by the way. I'm just going to give him that one.
Yeah, three ways. I told this to Joey yesterday. He loved it. There's three ways of communication. Telephone, telegram, and telewoman. That's it. That's just how you live your life.
Now, apparently a podcast.
How'd you and Margo meet?
Oh.
Yes, that story is amazing.
That's
yes.
A great one.
I'm in the bar one night, and like I always heard about it. There was actually, I didn't even tell you this part. She's a vodka drinker, and they had a bottle of Mango Absolute, and it was actually crossed off, and it said Margo Absolute instead of Mango Absolute. And I kept like for like a week or two, I'm like, who the hell is Margo girl? Like, you know? I'm like, no, I don't. I have no idea who she is. And I'm in the bar, and all of a sudden she walks in, and somebody goes, Margo! And she goes, Polo!
Yes.
That's awesome. Classic.
And I just lost my shit. So it was hysterical.
That's
crazy.
What
was your first tattoo?
Yeah.
This, we did it with in my room, and we just took an X-Acto knife and made marks and put ink in there. And I just kept rubbing it.
Yeah, no way.
Like prison. Like,
that's not how you do it.
Like prison. He just said like prison.
How's that Caesar salad?
Good.
Is that New York or?
Normal.
New York hardcore.
New York hardcore?
New York hardcore.
Okay, cool. Very cool. That's sick.
Do you get updated a lot or are you pretty much done with it?
Oh, I ain't ever done.
Okay.
I don't want to go back.
What's your most recent one then?
Leg?
Yeah, well, I've been working on this one for like 6 years. This is my friend Ryan who died.
Okay.
Who, you think I got stories?
Are we doing homework to pitch up? Yeah, but like how we gonna die?
Where should I even start with Ryan?
It's like
Ashton. I used to have to babysit him because my best friend who's at Jen, who they used to date. He was barred from every bar she ever worked at.
Really?
Because he was just like, he was like smaller than me, but he would just start a fight with everybody.
Really?
And like win.
A fighter.
And win. So I used to always have to babysit him. One night, we're in the bar, it's like 3 a.m. And now the town we live in, for some odd reason, you're not allowed to park between like 3 and 5.
Most of
A.M.?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of Long Island is like that.
So.
Summer.
Well, then you see like the little code enforcement car pull up. He's like ready to give me a ticket. Mine's like, I got this.
I gotta take a picture. That's from Minnesota, that hat?
Yeah. That's where we go to school. Well,
stop interrupting.
I work with guys from
see, this is what I mean about this guy.
Continue. Sorry.
So, we,
thank you.
You know, it's like 3:30 a.m. when I went hammered. And then, I'm like, somebody's like, yo, Joey, they're giving you a ticket. Ryan goes, no, they're not. He runs out of the bar and steals the cop car. It was code enforcement. It wasn't really a cop. It was code enforcement. But still a government vehicle.
Yeah, still a government vehicle.
Yeah, it's just like ticketers.
A lot of trouble. So I'm like, fuck. So I run outside. I lock the bar. I run outside. I get in my car. And I start chasing Ryan down the block. Meanwhile, the guy's running. I pass him.
Hey, closing speed.
Ryan pulls over. At the town hall, which is where the guy had to go anyway.
He drove his car back.
I pick him up and we just went to another bar.
No way.
Never heard from that guy again. Or the cop, the town cop.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they've given me tickets since then.
Okay.
This had to be like, well, he died in 2002, so this is a long time ago.
Okay. That's awesome. And that was the last tattoo you got? Or no, that was...
Well, that's the one I've been working on.
You're still working on it.
Yeah.
Still
on his calf.
It took me 10 years to think about what I wanted.
Okay, that's fair.
My friend tattooed him. Okay. My friend tattoos him. His girlfriend gave him.
Oh, I got one this tattoo. One.
That's my which best was, friend did that.
Which is a funny.
Made in USA. So it looks
USA.
Like a stamp.
Oh, that's awesome.
She goes, you want to look like what? I go, I want to look it's faded and gone. She goes, so you want me to give you a crappy tattoo? I said, absolutely.
It's all about the art, man.
So we want to, if you have a story that you were in your most, like, feared position yeah. or something, so we, just presence.
We do it with all our guests. We ask them, basically, what was the scariest story you got?
But I walked out of the bathroom and seen this asshole the
other day. 2 days ago.
And now the door's off.
Yeah, they go, somebody ripped the door off. I go, because no more surprises. Scary. I'm scared shitless of... What the hell is that movie?
It?
No.
I don't know.
Where that chick's head spins around.
Exorcist.
Yeah, I was like Exorcist. 4 years old and my parents brought me to drive a movie and I was supposed to be sleeping in the back seat and I watched that.
Weren't you in war? That's what scares you the most?
I don't know, that was fun.
You liked war.
I didn't like it, but...
It didn't scare you.
Because where were you stationed? Were you in Korea?
No, if I'm not that old. Come on, dude. My grandfather was in Korea.
That's true.
I was in Kuwait. Close. Wait,
you were in Japan for a while, too, right?
That's where I was stationed. We didn't fight them.
I didn't
that was
say you were fighting them, but you were there.
So nothing scary there, but when you watch The Exorcist, when you're...
No, it was scary every day. You don't know what's going to happen, but, you know. It's so cool having this 50 cal gun. You're like, you have no idea. Like,
is that, you have bad hearing because of that, or is it more...
What?
Got him.
So buzzing.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Ladies, gentlemen.
Then reverse the other direction. What's the happiest moment you think you've been?
Oh.
Right now.
Right now.
Really? On the podcast?
Oh, ooh,
I don't even know what this is.
He still isn't sure.
That's awesome.
That's so proud.
Just Aruba, period. End of sentence.
We hit him with the last two questions? Or?
I think my happiest one.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We can
He's
go
pretty
on.
Happy every day, I think.
Yeah, live your life to the fullest.
Yeah, he really does.
Like, you know when everybody says you only live once? Bullshit.
I think he's lived more than once.
You only die once.
Yeah. It's true.
Fair.
So it's Yodo.
Yodo.
Right?
You only die Yoda? Once. Like, that's bull- you only live Yodo. Once.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I believe
Yolo.
It.
Yeah.
I believe it.
In other words, I've been reincarnated 4 billion times.
And the cat came back the very next day.
So, Joey, I got another question for you. I thought it was like a unique... A lot of college listeners here.
Yeah, I thought it was...
Give us a story for us college kids to hold on to.
That's a rough... That's it. He's flipping through the Rolodex right now.
Yeah. Hey, we got time. This thing's not live.
Oh, it's not live?
It's not live. No, we'll go through and edit it, make it all sound real nice, okay. Make Joey sound like a professional.
We'll take this music out.
We'll take the music out.
I told you when I met Robert De Niro, right?
No.
You told us, we haven't told the listeners. Yeah, that's a great story.
Only that's time, a, only, I, you know, I'm from New York. You see people all the time. Like, you could be in the subway with Jay-Z, and that wouldn't even fucking faze me. But, I was in this place.
Jay-Z doesn't faze
me. I was in this place called the Gaslight. Right across, right around the block from Hogs and Heifers, where the whole, the hell's going on in that fucking movie?
Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, the whole Coyote Ugly thing. Yep. Is thing. My ex-girlfriend, Michelle Gascoigne, you're lucky I told you that. Is the only girl, they only let one guy in the bar ever there, and it was Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Which was pretty impressive, but
well, it's Paul McCartney.
She got to meet him, I didn't.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, I'm in the Gaslight, and my friend Asta's working. And at the time, I had this, like, spiked up red hair, like Billy Idol. No, actually, I'm lying. It was blonde, because it was like Billy Idol. That's where the rest of the story comes from.
It's like such a skill.
And this guy next to me is like, who the fuck you got to know to get a drink around here? And I'm like, Asta, give me a drink. Give my boy a drink. I'm like, get these two a drink. And I don't look over.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the guy turns around and goes, cheers, thank you. And it was Robert De Niro.
No way.
And I was like, wow. Only time I ever got starstruck in my life. I was like, wow. So I'm like, of course, like everyone to the other side of the bar. I'm like, I just fucking put Robert De Niro a drink. My friends were like, bullshit. It was right over there. Like, he didn't talk to him. I go, no, I didn't talk to him. I put him a drink. And he turns around and he goes, Blondie, thank you. I go, see, I told you. So then, like, you know, I go home, go back to Long Island. I'm telling everybody, I hung out with Robert De Niro and everything. Even my friends like, yeah. About like 3 months later, I'm back in the same bar. And I had the red spike head, which I said at first.
Yeah.
And I hear this guy go, yo, Blondie, this round's on me. And I was with different people. I'm like, yeah, I told you I knew that motherfucker.
Yes. That's awesome that he remembered you too, man.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Very specific. I love that. What's the story with Vito on The Sopranos? That was a good story too.
Oh, yeah. He's dude. Like local. That's the one that. Like,
after Hurricane Sandy, like everybody lost their shit.
He lives right by us.
Yeah.
Everybody lost their shit. Like, you know, like everybody's like devastated. And it was weird, like, you see disasters around the world all the time. And you don't realize, like, it's been 5 years, and people are still homeless there.
Really?
And, like, the houses are slowly fixed.
My sister moved in 2 years ago.
You know, like, you don't realize, like, you see, like, it happening, like, oh, there's poor people, and everybody, like, donates bottles of water and blankets and shit. And you don't realize until it happens to you, and you never think it's going to happen in New York.
Nope.
My house got, I lived on the water, my house got washed away. I came back, there was a foundation, and the water's shooting out of the pipes, like, nothing there.
Wow.
And this guy from FEMA comes, and I'm like, trying to, you know, salvage whatever I can. Uh-huh. He comes up. He's like, hey, how you doing? He goes, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. He goes, everywhere I go around here, people ask me how I'm doing. But meanwhile, you guys are just here. I go, let me change that. I go, we don't give a fuck how you're doing. I go, this is how we say, we sound like idiots saying howdy. Goes, don't answer us. Just, how you doing, and walk away.
We're being polite.
I'm not even being polite. I don't give a shit. Hi, how you doing? Like,
hey, how you doing?
It's a Seinfeld episode. It started with an H. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You guys are probably too young for that, too. But anyway, so then I'm at the bar that I work that, you know, and we have a generator. And we're like the only little block. Now, we're like a homeless shelter. We're letting like kids in there to hang out and play their Xbox and watch cartoons on TV. We have the satellite TV, so we have the Giants game on, like what nobody else does.
Yeah.
And what's his name? I forget his real name. But anyway, Vito, that little bastard Johnny Cake guy from The Sopranos, comes and tells me that I should let him have my generator for his family because he's a celebrity.
What?
And I was like, what? He goes, do you know who I am? I go, yeah. I go, you're a cocksucker.
The Sopranos. Sorry I told you bit your line, but that's true.
That was it.
It's true.
You don't have any kids.
No.
Your family, I mean, you...
I don't think I have any.
You don't think you have any, allegedly. So
and if
it's
I
just
do,
you.
You're on your own. I want nothing to do with any of you.
Okay.
No,
no, yeah, I got you. We understand. But just your lifestyle, I mean, you're... What, are you almost 40 now?
I'm almost 50.
Almost 50, but this lifestyle you live has just been... You work, and you work to live.
Right.
You don't work for anybody else. It's you work for you and you and you and you and you do what you want, essentially.
I don't own a house.
Don't own a house, okay.
Got an apartment? Apartment in New York or Long Island.
Yeah. In my parents' basement. No, I'm kidding. No, well, technically I do, but it's an apartment. But it's only because they took my house in Sandy.
Right.
But I did it. No. I got 2 Harley Davidsons and a Hellcat.
And you just live.
That's
the whole thing is. The American way, I guess, is you work.
Margaret! Come on, I'll make you famous.
Joey's. Big Joey Task,
I'm
guys.
Margaret.
Jacqueline.
She's one of the ones that came down to surprise me.
Okay. You or Sean?
Regretting it every
second. Oh, come on now.
Awesome.
But I'll continue to say.
It's fucking Aruba. Go home and freeze. Better yet, go home with these guys.
Yeah, we're from Minnesota. We go to school in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh.
College guys in Minnesota.
It's pretty cold.
Just a little bit. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
She could probably tell you more stories. She probably remembers. Where is that?
Where is Minnesota?
South of Canada.
Right in the middle, right?
Yeah, right in the middle. Just
it's
south
in the
Canada.
Middle. Yeah. That's such an East Coast thing. I think Colorado's next to California. It's not.
That's why it's awesome that you're hot, because...
Just getting back to it, just that this lifestyle you live is so, I would almost say, polar opposite of what we're told to do, which is you work to get your money, you work to get your wealth, and you
move up in the world.
And you move up. You get, like, we start somewhere and we work our way up to get that more responsibility where you just work to live.
My brother does that. My brother's a corporate guy, and like, everything in his life has to, like, make sense.
Yeah.
So, like, if I stayed here for another month, I would figure out how to do it.
Right.
Like, I don't give a shit if I don't have a florin in my pocket, which is, that's, would be in money. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just figure it out.
Right.
You know, like, a survivor, that's it.
Correct.
You know, I work to have fun.
Should we finish our final questions?
Sure, yeah.
Our final question, I guess?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
So we usually ask all our listeners this type of question, and you being a unique stock lifestyle, we have college listeners that are all probably roughly 20. And they're trying to figure out.
Don't do drugs.
I just told them to drop out, but
No, this is where the question's kind of headed. They're all in their 20s, so they're looking for their path. They're looking for their future right now.
They don't know
what advice. So are we.
Exactly. Everyone is. Right now, these probably maybe a little bit more of being young.
Yes.
I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. But sure. Go ahead.
What advice would you give to someone in their 20s, early 20s, if you could go back and maybe you'd do it differently, right? Maybe not, or maybe just advice for a 20-year-old?
Honestly, I say all the time, because like I don't even know what I want to be grow up, and it's a joke, but it's not. Like, if I did it over, you know, I would like to be the guy that had to own the yacht and all that stuff, but get up every morning and go to work. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Like, stay in school, kids.
Find a job with a pension.
Okay.
For what? In 20 years?
Yeah, all you gotta do is 20 years, you're done.
Go work for Sean.
Another animal. That's a whole other animal right there.
Yep.
Honestly, do whatever you think you should do.
What makes you happy? You had one more, you said.
Yeah, final question.
Oh. We're hitting them with this one?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go. Battle rap.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I might need to kill it for this one.
No, it's simple.
No, this is the simplest question.
Which makes it always harder.
Yeah. This is simple.
Over the course of, you maybe have not gone to sleep yet. So over the scope from the morning that you maybe you woke up to right now, what did you learn?
Has
there been something that's...
I learned that the place over there only sells waffles.
Yep.
I learned Margo's mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I learned what a podcast was.
Yeah, kind of. You still don't know.
I don't.
No,
it's funny because everyone says that even though they know what a podcast is.
I know what it is. He has no idea. I've tried to explain it.
I have no idea what's going on.
The movie script, the book.
Oh, we didn't even plug his book.
Yeah, we got to plug the book.
Oh, we didn't plug his book.
Yeah, so
Joey, tell
us. Versions?
Joey's got a book coming out in, let's say, roughly 2 to maybe 10 years.
7 years, yeah.
I've been writing a book about my entire life in the bar industry called Versions. Oh, now what happens is every chapter is 3 different versions of the same story. But, you know, there's always, like, my version and the truth. So, like, but it might not, is not necessarily always the same 3 people.
It could be a police report, me, and you.
Yeah, and it's not even just this one.
Okay.
It's not even necessarily that one of the chapters I might not even be in.
Right.
I think the movie's going to be better than the book.
I think the movie...
As always.
Let's give us the intro.
Opening scene.
Opening scene is me.
Who's going to play you, actually?
Brad Pitt.
Well, that's a
Brad
Pitt.
Brad Pitt will be dead. If you're dead, he's dead.
Brad Pitt will play
him. Don't worry about it.
They got CGI. They know what they're
doing. CGI, they'll just have a hologram of Brad Pitt. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
You can make a hologram of me, then.
Yeah, obviously.
Can they
make Brad Pitt? Yes, they can. They make Michael Jackson and... Who was the other one that they made?
Are we making a hologram now? Anyway.
It just died. Anyway, yeah.
The opening scene of the whole movie, like I said, I've been all over the world. I bartended everywhere, drank everywhere, did everything. So I'm stocking beer, and Monty's there. And he always plays like the same 7 songs on the jukebox. So he's playing Eric Clapton, it's gotta get better in a little while. So I look around the bar, and like there's Monty, like, I'm the Golden Globes champ, like trying to punch people in the face, like trying to see how close he can get without punching you in the face. I look down the bar, it's like, the 3 broke down stockbrokers that think they're gangsters and they're not. Yep.
They don't talk to anyone, they're just back there.
No, they're always the ones like, here's $5 for you. You know what, let me get a shot on the way out. You know, I'm good for it. They're always good for it.
Yeah.
I got money, I'm good for it. No, you're not. Anyway, this whole thing's going on. I'm looking around the bar and I'm stocking a beer and the song's on. It's got to get better in a little while. It's got to get better in a little while. I go, look around, I go, and I start having flashbacks. I'm like, I bought that in Japan, Germany, Italy, Hawaii, the Caribbean. I go, and here I am with this. And all I hear is, it's got to get better in a little while. So then that's the opening scene of the movie, and we flash back to 17. when I got my first, like, real bartending job. It wasn't, like, my family's. So that's the opening scene, and everything flashes back from there.
Mark, are you going to the room?
We might make this the final scene.
Yes. The podcast where you just don't know what it is, and you just got two college kids asking, yearning for your...
I'm even going to let you guys play yourselves.
Yes.
Ooh.
That would be
if you could. That'd be sick.
That'd be the final scene of the movie.
Can you get us those shirts, too, though? I kind of want to wear that shirt in the movie.
I'll give it to you.
Perfect.
Take it.
You want a trade?
It's yours. Take it. Enjoy.
Thanks, Joey.
What do you got?
He gave me a shirt.
Oh, just smoke it? What is that?
Just hit it.
One thing that I can say for sure that our listeners won't be able to get is we got the perspective of Joey's friends and everything to get the full notice of who Joey really is. Just wrapping up now, Joey, just want to say thank you for spending the time with us and getting this podcast in.
No, absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Great interview, and now we kick it off to the back end. We're going to talk a little NFL draft. It's going on currently because we're recording on Thursday. It's around pick 14, 15.
Yeah, Cardinals just picked. I don't know who it is, but Jonathan Allen is still on the board. Whatever, you know. So far, I mean, it's been... my favorite part of the draft so far was, before it even started, it had the Browns' stats on their picks in the first round and just their drafts in general. But the best... the best stat line that I saw was they have not had a quarterback start 16 games for them for an entire season since 2001 with Tim Couch.
Wow.
That's crazy. Awesome. That's so Browns.
100%. Moral of the story, we are not experts in the NFL draft. We don't do our research a lot. We do know enough to talk about it, but if we want to bring an expert, we're going to bring in a guy we had on earlier in our previous podcast, Dane Mosier. He's an expert on all fields of sports, tremendous with NBA and tremendous with NFL. He's already got some hot takes, and we're going to go ahead and call him and just get a couple of his hot takes for our listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go ahead and give... Oh, here we go. Dane's actually calling us.
Okay.
Daner, how's it going?
Good, Dak. How are you?
We're doing great, brother. Hey, we're on the back pocket right now. We're glad you called. You're our first call-in to the back pocket, so thanks for that.
Oh, yeah.
So NFL draft's going on. It's roughly pick 15. We need some hot takes from you. You got any?
What are your initial thoughts 15 picks in?
The Bears, that was an awful pick. they picked a guy that they could have had at number 3, and they traded up for him and gave up like 3 or 4 picks in the process. And they're not even going to play the guy.
Yeah,
so,
that's not the best call. I agree with you 100%.
And also, they paid how many millions of dollars to what's his face that is
Mike
Glennon. Like
Mike Glennon.
Mike
Glennon. I think it was $50 million.
Yeah, so they paid him $50 million just to draft another bust quarterback.
Brutal. What's your thoughts on Christian McCaffrey going to
the
Panthers?
The 49ers did a really good job with that trade.
Yeah, I know. They're corralling picks now.
Yeah, I like the Tennessee Titans. Corey Davis is a stud. And P.J. Fleck got him there, too.
Yeah, people forget P.J. Fleck, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Sky
I'm
Umar.
Sorry enough about that.
Dane, I know you think the Bears pick is stupid, but as an AFC North guy and yourself being a Vikings guy, you probably absolutely love to see the Bears making those mistakes.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
That just keeps the Bears, so that's always
good.
Yeah,
they're officially eliminated from playoffs next year.
Here to hear first. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Bears are eliminated from the playoffs. Dane,
so it looks like the Vikings have 2 bye weeks three bye weeks, actually.
Dane,
Bears twice.
Dane, I'm doing my math here. I'm showing two of the first 10 picks in the NFL draft were white guys. Are white guys back in the NFL?
Yeah. McCaffrey is a stud. I mean, white quarterback, you kind of expect that. But, yeah, McCaffrey's a stud. I think he's going to play wide receiver. I like that.
Okay. People forget Dane and I played against Christian McCaffrey my entire life in high school, so.
Oh, yeah. He's. I forgot he lived in Colorado.
Yeah, went to Valor Christian.
Yeah, dude. Stud.
That's good stuff.
I like him a lot.
All right, Dan, what's your final thought for the first round? Who are the Vikings going to get? Because this is going to air after the first round, but we're not yet to the Vikings pick. Who are the Vikings picking?
Well, if Joe Mixon is there at 48, I feel like they're going to pull the trigger on him.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you, Dane. We look forward to having you on later. Thank you, brother.
All right, dude, looking forward to it.
All right, take care, brother.
See you.
Always good to have Dane on. It's a pleasure, man. He's got great insight. Longtime listener, great fan of the sport.
And also a reoccurring guest on the show. He's our go-to guy for all sports, especially Minnesota. Let's kick it to the final segments of our show, right?
Yeah, we do. As I say every time, we're going to finish the podcast on a positive note. We're positive guys. We got finished the same way every time. Final things, what do we learn in a feel-good story? Personally, today I learned in my interpersonal communications course, my boy Carl gave a speech on multitasking and how it is a myth.
Is that his TED Talk?
Was his TED Talk, yes.
Shout out, Carl. Nice TED Talk.
Oh, killed it. No note cards. Absolutely crushed it. Very inspirational. The moral of his story, or the biggest theme, was multitasking is not a myth, but it's more, it's not efficient. It's the worst thing you can do. You can be listening to music and typing away at a paper, or typing your email and listening at social media, you know, at various things. When you're at your desk doing work, just don't be multitasking, because Carl will be there to say, no, no, no.
Like most TED Talks, did he have the taped little speaker to his...
No, it was on his suit. Little clip right there. Yeah, collar.
I don't know why that still exists. like the infomercial, little speaking microphone. I don't get that. But yeah, that's usually a TED Talk thing.
Tough.
So what did I learn today? I learned that we're all a part of history. So I'm sitting in class today and we're talking Berlin Wall. And we had watched a CNN video, and I'd said in class, he's like, what did you guys think of that Berlin Wall video? And I raised my hand. I was like, I thought it was cool, like, that these people that were able to walk across to West Germany for the first time were walking across with just and being applauded by the West Germans as they're walking across. And they just knew, like, right then and there, like, they were part of something big. They were part of something, like, they were part of history. And then my teacher stopped. I hope to get him on the podcast. His name is Zoltan Nash, unbelievable professor, one of the best at St. Thomas. But he stops classing me. He goes, that's a great point. He goes, we are all a part of history, and that's a freaking fact. And then he just kind of, he said, like, don't think it's just the big figures like the President of the United States or, you know, someone like that. Like, we're all part of the movement, and we're all part of history in our own way. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Very interesting. Always informing our listeners, giving them a little golden nugget. Thank you, Dad.
Absolutely.
And then, feel-good story. This is a tremendous one. I mean, it really warms your heart. Every Thursday, you know, you get your snap from Deck in mechanical engineering class. BT just grinding away, working with his hands, and he's just the happiest man alive. And, you know, you just really love to see when BT is happy, because a happy BT is the best kind of BT.
A happy BT is the best kind of BT. He's just got that charismatic smile on his face. He is ready to get after it. When most people hear, hey man, you have an 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. lab, and then after that you got to go to another lab, and then after that you got to go bounce at a bar until 3 a.m., you'd say, wow, that'd be probably my worst day of the week. Not for BT. BT is the most blue-collar man I know. Most blue-collar man probably we all know, and he does it for the good, just for the good of the people. And you know, it's just fun to watch BT in there, man, just grinding away, just getting his hands dirty. Today we're working on a machine. We work in groups of two, and we're all building our own individual machines. And you know, BT is working, and you know, he realizes, he goes, hey, my machine sucks. So what does BT do? He tears the entire thing apart and starts from scratch. Let's be mindful that we have been working on the same project since February, since the first day of the semester, and our final project is due next Thursday. Of course, BT's going to restart less than a week before the due date, because he's a freaking blue-collar guy. That's what he does. He's going to work till 3 a.m. until
the rest of the week until next Thursday, and he's going to probably do very average in the competition. But, like, that's what he loves, and he loves to do, and he wouldn't want it any other way.
Absolutely. BT, thank you for all that you do for us. You're a pleasure and honor. We love you. BT, thanks for warming our heart.
We love you, BT. We love all our listeners. We love the Back Pocket. Take care.
Take care.